Welcome back. Henry and Steve here, and we've been talking about the seven connections. And last time we did connection 1, 2, and 3, which are like your personal connections.
Right.
So now we're going to move on to
expanding.
More.
Right. So we're going to be looking at connection 4, 5, 6, and 7. And remember, this whole section is under giving you confidence in your ministry. And you get confidence when you take a calling to something, and then you add to it competence, which is learning and growing and finding out as much as you can about these things, learning. And then finally, confidence is when you put those two into practice.
In your life.
And so we're suggesting you start with your personal life, your marriage, your family, and then now we're going to move on to connection 4.
Okay.
So connection 4 is really leading others. So you're
people
going
beyond your family.
Outside of your family.
Okay.
So support others in their walk with God. So if you're in a church or with Christians, okay, how do you help other families or other marriages or other individuals? And you might do that by leading a Bible study or coaching or counseling, any kind of ministry that helps other people.
You know, before we move on, in some ways, you take it out of your family connections.
Right.
That is the essence of now doing public ministry, even if it's one.
Right. And that is, in some ways, you're really stepping out when you do that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, small groups really have been sort of a recent invention.
Right.
Because in the past, small groups were an extended family.
Right.
Extended families went to a particular church, and then after church, I don't know about you, but we'd go over to my uncle's house or my grandmother's house.
We hosted it in our house.
Right. And so then everyone came, and it was every week.
Right.
So it was like a Bible study.
And my uncles and aunts talked about the sermon, both good and what they didn't like about the sermon.
Right.
In some ways, I look back at that going like, oh, roast preacher. But what they were doing was processing what was said.
Right. And it was consistent.
Yeah.
And they had the connection glue of family.
Grandma was there.
Right.
My grandma.
But they lived around you, right?
Yes, they did. We're all in that little community of Dulvin, Wisconsin.
Right. But now, over time, at least in the West here, now that's where some of you that live in other places of the world have an advantage.
You still
over
have
the
that
West.
Point, yes.
You still have strong, small group connections through your family networks. Whereas in our culture, in many cultures like ours, families are moving all over the place. And so grandma doesn't live here, or grandpa and the uncles and aunts live in some other city. And so because of that, churches have invented this whole idea of having small groups.
Right.
But the glue is not the family connection. So sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes it goes well, depending on the chemistry of the people involved.
Right.
So connection 4 is like leading, you know, groups of people. It can be a Bible study. It can be, a program at your church, whether it's music.
Neighborhood Bible study.
You know, it could be.
It can even be a Bible study on Facebook.
Yeah.
It can
almost be anything where groups meet.
Right.
You know, like maybe there's a diaconal group that goes out and helps neighborhood people, and that's a group.
Right.
Or, a class, a Sunday school class is sort of like a little group.
So part of the curriculum around here for many of the commended programs, almost all of them, is leading a Bible study.
Right.
Because it's such an important skill. We didn't even have that trained at Calvin Seminary because they didn't consider it a thing needing to happen.
Right.
And today we see it as so essential in ministry to lead others in the Word.
Partly because of that family system breakdown.
Right, and they weren't aware that was happening.
Right. Connection 5. So now, and you notice that these connections are growing. It's like you start with one, then it's two, then it's a family, now it's a small group.
Right.
And now connection 5 is leading in a church.
Hmm.
So I think
so a church service is really talking, listening, repeatedly.
It's really devotions.
It is.
In some way.
It's just like corporate devotions.
Right. I mean, personal devotions.
Are all, like there's worship and that's
there's
talking
Bible.
To God and prayer.
Yes.
And the Bible, the preaching is the word of God speaking to our hearts.
And
so
it's
a complicated form of devotion.
Yes. And there's if you do it weekly,
right.
So it's repeatedly. So every one of these is really the same thing, like personal devotions has those ingredients, marriage does, family, small groups. It just gets more complicated because there's more people.
Right. And leadership issues are more important
beyond
the family. Well, they're probably just as important, but they're different.
Right. But so leadership becomes, in some ways, as it gets bigger, it becomes more challenging.
Yes.
Right, which means you need more training. That's why if you're going to be a full-time pastor, we recommend going to the Christian Leaders College.
Oh,
why?
Yeah.
Because the managing of this talking and listening repeatedly
process is
way more complicated.
And you're going to be then leading part-timers and volunteers.
Yes.
So you have more dynamics you have to deal with. So
right.
You want that competency, a calling competency and confidence to actually do excellent work with that.
And that grows when you get better at personal devotions, marriage devotions. If you're doing really well with your family, then stepping out and doing a small group with a number of families isn't so hard.
Yeah.
And then if you've done that well, you know, taking a step to the church level is a little bit easier. So first of all, with church, and everyone can do this.
Yeah.
This is not complicated.
Yeah.
Enthusiastic church attendance and participation.
Yeah. Oh, I can't tell you enough. When you are all in it to win it at a local church, your minister sees that.
Oh.
And then if you take classes at Christian Leaders Institute and show your minister what you're doing, and you're all in, I mean, the door will open for volunteer ministry like nobody's business, ordinarily.
Right. So if you instead, let's say your attendance and participation in the church is really hit or miss, and then you take all kinds of classes at CLI, and then you come to your pastor and say, I am ready to do stuff,
Well,
he's
going
to go, well, what? Hold it. I didn't see any enthusiastic church attendance or participation.
And now you're
and
the
now
answer
you
person
you,
that's going to come in and change things.
So
you become a threat.
Right. So, again, it's starting small, earning your credibility little as you go. If you do that, then people can see the growth in you. They see you're enthusiastic. They can see you participate. And now you're just gaining in competence.
Now you say, is that biblical that the minister would not recognize you right away? Well, sort of. Look at the Apostle Paul. He walked with Barnabas. Then Barnabas introduced him to the disciples. So, in other words, even a guy like Paul, who's called on the road to Damascus, did
he
not automatically get into the whole deal. Yes.
They were suspicious of him.
Oh, yeah. They heard bad reports about him and all of that, but he right away was open to mentorship and connection, and then doors opened for him.
Right. So help lead music, the word, prayer, drama, liturgy. There's so many things going on at church, and churches need help.
Well, and you know, and often too, people say, well, you know, I'm interested in, you know, marriage. Okay, so the pastor says, well, do a little marriage Bible study, and then two people show up or two couples show up, and you feel like, I'm going to do this, but why didn't 20 people show up? The pastor didn't promote this enough.
Right.
That's an opportunity.
Yes.
That we've always seen that.
Right.
When we planted
churches. That's
actually
better.
Yes.
Because you could do a good job with two, and then they tell other people, and now you have something.
Well, and we've noticed in church planting that whoever shows up is who's supposed to be there.
Right.
And if you do a good job on who's supposed to be there, things start multiplying. And here's one more little trick we've learned. A lot of times there's a church bulletin, they put the ministry in church bulletin and think, you know, if it's in the bulletin, somebody will show up, rather than going out and saying and promoting, say, hey, I'm going to be doing a Bible study.
Would you be interested in
coming? Or sometimes they want, we want the minister to promote my Bible study in front.
Yeah.
If he's not, then he's not on board.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of ministries in the church.
Right.
If he starts promoting one, they can spend 10 minutes at the beginning.
Right.
So the best thing to do is to just be on board and start small. And word of mouth will spread.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool.
All right, connection six, leading in the kingdom. So the church is your local church, but the kingdom is made up of all God's people all over the world.
Right.
Well, how can you lead there?
Well, there's ministries. We have so many ministries right now. Ministries for the homeless, ministries for single moms. I believe para ministry could even be a ministry you might start.
Right.
You know, and
it could be almost anything.
Yeah. And as a volunteer, you could start a ministry in your community.
A chaplain is a kingdom ministry.
Or
an officiant doing weddings or funerals.
Yeah.
These are all ministries.
Right.
Parachurch ministries are ministries that come alongside the church and try to fulfill a specific function that needs some focus. And churches, in a way, are generalists.
Yeah.
They do a general job on many things.
And they support family.
Yes.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like a home to pregnant teenage girls or something.
Mm-hmm.
The church generally doesn't have enough resources or enough people to support,
right.
So they don't start a ministry like that.
Right.
Whereas, let's say, a combination of many churches get together, and now all the people that are equipped for that and have a passion for that, they make something happen.
You know, I even like some of the exciting roles that we're developing, like the matchmaker minister role is an example of that. More and more, everything's breaking down.
Right.
But a matchmaker minister can maybe connect with churches or help people connect with other Christians.
Right.
And that's really more of a kingdom function. Now, it used to be that matchmaking occurred in churches. Churches are big enough. There's critical mass or combinations of churches found ways to do that. But that's all breaking down. So now, matchmaker ministers might be an answer to some of those kingdom concerns.
Right. Number two, leading joint church efforts is sort of like a kingdom thing. So maybe you're in a city, there's a lot
of good
churches.
That could be a matchmaker example.
So, yeah. Or you might be a life coach and then you offer your services to several churches.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might try to get the churches to do something together, have a joint service in the park, or be a witness together. Number three, encouraging others to get involved with Christian leaders' ministries.
Oh, I think that's just absolutely amazing to do, is to actually promote Christian leader ministries and training and even mini classes.
Right.
I think the mini classes are a great example of how a kingdom ministry, and like you're at work, and you hear about somebody who has a struggle with dating, and do you know if there's a dating discernment class over at Christian Leaders Institute where I'm getting ministry training? You can just sign up and take one class there. You don't even have to get into a program.
Right.
You've completed part one. You know what we're talking about. Part one, you into taking courses.
Right.
You're in part two now where you're talking about some of the programs that fire the calling in your life.
Right.
But you might be able to use this as a way to just promote classes.
Right. And use the material that you're learning from.
So the seven connections. Connection one is your personal.
Yep.
Two is your marriage or maybe with a close friend. Three is your family. Four is ministry to friends or the small groups or ministry to community leaders even.
Mm-hmm.
And then connection five is to the church you belong to. How can you help? Connection six is the kingdom, which gives you new opportunities for building the kingdom. And seven. Here we go.
Okay,
there is
last one. Connection seven is leading in the unconnected
world.
To Christ world.
Okay. So the first six are all the connected to Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And in some ways, all the first six, what is the point of personal, marriage, family, small groups, church, kingdom? The reason why we're here is because God wants his message of love to go to the unconnected to Christ world.
Yeah.
So in a way, the foundation of evangelism and outreach is these first six connections. If you don't have a walk with God in your personal life, then why are you telling someone else that they need a walk with God?
That's right.
So Connection 7, leading in the unconnected to Christ world. First, a witness in deeds. So we do good things.
Yeah.
And we try to be Christ-like. Jesus did much of that in his ministry. He helped people.
Samaritan.
He healed
yeah.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And then a witness in words. Jesus
yeah.
said words. He
right.
lifted people. He tried to tell them, you know, there's a better way. There's
right.
a way of freedom and opportunity
right.
and joy and the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, all these things. Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
So really, it goes to the whole world.
Right.
It's really the Great Commission.
Yes.
It's really why we give to Vision Partners, is we want this to go all over the world to raise up more ministers so more people are reached that don't know Jesus Christ.
But now, in some ways, this seven connection view of things is sort of, it adds a different flavor to evangelism.
Okay.
A lot of evangelism is, or at least in the past, has been, okay, you have a point of view, and I want to give you the Christian point of view, and we end up arguing about points of view.
Right.
Okay, in the seven connection style,
okay.
it would be like, okay, your marriage is falling apart.
Right.
Can I share with you some things that I do in my
right.
marriage that really that helps?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if not, if you're happy with your marriage, fine. But
right.
you were complaining about your marriage, and so there's something that works. Now, what works? Well, a walk
right.
with God.
Right.
Or if someone's complaining about how depressed they are and how discouraged they are, again, what helps me? What
right.
helps me is my
no,
walk with God.
I think you're saying, what is leadership? To the believers, we call it discipleship. To the unreached, we call it evangelism.
Right.
But
it's quite a bit the same, right?
It is. It's the same type of behaviors.
Right.
It's about talking, listening repeatedly.
Right.
If it's real in our life,
yes.
people will see that.
Right.
Now, I've seen that too. Seen the holy jealousy. Where, you know, I believe that everybody shuts their eyes at night and they think of everything. They think of, is it true? Is it not true? Why am I unhappy? How do I get happy? I'm depressed. Do I need drugs? Do I need
yeah.
what? You know,
yeah.
and all of a sudden they meet you.
Right.
And then they see someone who really lives with a personal
right.
higher power.
Yeah, your connections are going.
Yes.
You seem to have purpose.
Yes.
And
they watch you. They look in your cupboards. And
yeah.
if you have an opportunity through hospitality, which we have another mini course here,
right.
to invite them to their your home.
Right.
And then you open the Word for briefly, like
yeah.
you do, and they're just
yeah.
looking and observing, and they see your enthusiasm in your walk with Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's powerful.
Right. It's sort of the people can argue with you if you engage in an argument.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just share what has happened to you,
yes.
look, I got to know Christ. I put him into my family, my marriage, my personal life. I'm supported by friends around me.
Right.
And this is what happened.
Right.
See, people can argue against that. What you didn't experience? No,
right.
this is what I experienced. Well, how does it work?
I right.
don't know. I don't know, my
right.
friend. All I know is that when I put God at the center of all these connections, great things happen.
Because it's windy there.
Right.
The Word of God
yes.
will not return void.
Right.
So you put the Word of God in the center of your life, in the center of your seven connections,
right.
that's a windy place.
Right.
If you pray and put prayer, you know, even in connection seven, you know, somebody has trouble and we will do that. You know, we'll walk up to say, can I pray right now?
Right.
And is somebody not going to church? And they go,
well, I don't believe it.
You know what, let's just pray. And then God shows up.
Right.
I mean, we've even done things where we've, you know, people are curious. We say, you know, we're going to give you seven Bible verses
right.
and say a little prayer. I don't even know how to pray, you know, like you just said. And
yeah.
fascinating, even
right.
God shows up in some of those ways. It's almost a pre-decision walk
yeah.
for
yeah.
many
it,
people
you know what?
Of the church.
Try dating God for 6 days and
yeah.
see if he shows up.
Right.
You know, we have a track called Walk with God for 6 days and see if he shows up.
Right.
You know, it's a windy place. I don't guarantee what's going to happen,
right.
but this is a well-worn path that God has honored in the past. And I don't know what he's going to do with you or whether he has a 5-year plan or a 1-week plan or whatever it is. But if you're not happy with life in your marriage and your families and your connections and all these
things, a lot of people are not happy about right now,
then I'm offering you something that I can show works in my life.
It's an option for you.
And if that's not what you want, then you can stay in your miserable life, you know.
Right.
But if you want to try something, just try it.
Right.
You know, what's the harm?
Right.
Well, that is very winning.
And very powerful.
And very powerful.
So we're glad you have listened to this. But an action step. What would be an action step after this?
The action step is step one. If you don't have a personal walk with God, that's where you start.
Okay.
No sense talking to your wife about having a marriage walk if you yourself, because now you're being a hypocrite, right?
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I think you haven't demonstrated it. So it might be tough. I'm going to go to my wife and she's not going to buy into this. But if she watches you for 2 months faithfully doing this and she sees a change in your life and then you suggest that maybe we do this, and it just follows, then go with the marriage and then your kids. If you just, okay, kids, here's what we're doing.
Do we have in this, do we have something posted for people to a simple, I mean, just to try it out even in this class?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have something posted for you that you can just yourself,
start.
And you may already have something going. So we're not saying this is better than what you have. All we're saying is we want you to start becoming reproducible in these connections and get confident that you are a Christian leader who is the real deal.
And if you want some more examples of how you might do Bible and prayer in your life, I would suggest taking that. We have a new mini course on how to do a Bible study, how to lead a Bible study.
Really
there's
good.
All these options. It's only 4 hours long, and you'll see all kinds of options that will help you.
Very good.